newcomers or people who come here from other centers sometimes ask me what they have to do to become my student. And in general, I tell them that we don't have specific criteria that they have to fulfill, but that I want them to reflect on what they think being a student means, what having a teacher means. I think I'll try to go into those questions a little bit this morning, and we can explore it further in our discussion group. In a certain sense, you know, the primary criteria for a student is simply showing up. There has to be a way in which you make a commitment of time and effort just to be here on a regular basis, to be part of something. And yet, just showing up can be done in a lot of different ways without someone really being clear what a student is or making a commitment to being a student. Sometimes people will come basically wanting to find a nice place to sit. That they have their own practice. They've been sitting on their own for a while or with other groups. They're looking for a place to sit, a pleasant group. And they want to just have that as a place to come and sit, which in some level is fine. And they may even feel like they're part of a group in a sangha, but that's a very different thing than being my student. They're trying to do something more or less on their own. And then there are other people who come because they basically are drawn for a sense of community. They want to be part of a sangha. And in order to do that, they'll put up with a certain amount of sitting and put up with a certain amount of Dharma talks and so forth. But basically, they're looking for a community, a social group, which again is fine. I have no problem with people doing that up to a point. Joko was not particularly happy with that, though. Mm-hmm. She had really no interest in those two categories of people coming to her zendo. When you came to Dokusan with her, she really wanted to know what your practice was and what you were doing and whether you were practicing in the way she talked about. She had no interest in you coming to the zendo to do a mantra someone had given you once, and that you just wanted to sit there and have your own private experience. She said, don't waste my time, go do that somewhere else. Right? And I think she basically felt that same way about people who just wanted a community, although having a community can be very important. She thought the primary thing is to be serious about your practice. And that meant really being open to her instruction about what practice is and what it isn't. And she wrote about that, as you know, in Everyday Zen. See, I've had people come over the years. I think I wrote about one student many years ago, not somebody who's here anymore. But he used to be very grateful and talk about all the ways that practice had changed his life. And clearly he was very committed and very connected to his sitting. But he never spoke about his relationship to me. And he didn't talk about what it meant that he was connected personally to me, if anything. And at a certain point, we were able to explore that. He was serious enough, a student could talk about what that meant, why he always talked that way. And it became clear that in the course of his life, he had been deeply traumatized and disappointed by significant others, and that he came to rely on this abstract practice rather than ever rely on a particular individual. He says, I don't want to have to trust you, I want to be able to trust the sitting, right? It's much harder to trust a person. And I think many people come to practices like this as a way to trust an abstraction or an ideal, trusting sitting the way you would trust God rather than having to trust the priest, right? And up to a certain point, that can be very useful as a way to allow you to start practicing again, to believe in something, trust something. But it's important that at the same time, we recognize what is being resisted through that kind of abstraction. When you come down to Dokusan, I ask that you do a full bow when entering. And that bow is to me. It's not the bow to the Buddha in the back. It's not a bow to practice. It's bowing to me. And I want people to be able to think about what does that mean. See, as far as I'm concerned, it has nothing to do with submission or obedience. It's not that you're bowing to the boss. It's acknowledging that this particular person is here and now and for me the embodiment of this practice. And that a commitment to me as a teacher is a kind of acceptance of the particularity of me as a particular person who has done this for 40-some years in a particular lineage and come here to do a certain kind of particular practice in a particular kind of way. And when you come in, when you bow, when you decide you want to be my student, you're saying yes to those particulars. You're saying, all right, well, that's what it looks like here. That's what I'm going to get. That's what I'm going to commit myself to. Okay. See, to see me as the embodiment of the Dharma, well, that's the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is that someone who's not that different than you ends up in this position of teacher, having dedicated their life to a practice in a certain kind of way, with a certain kind of commitment. And it can happen, right? You can make that happen. That's the good news. Bad news is that you still end up with somebody like me. You don't end up with your fantasy ideal of an enlightened master, right? And I think that is, in a way, the biggest thing you have to do to become a student is, in a certain sense, be willing to renounce a certain kind of fantasy, a kind of fantasy of transcendence or perfection or otherworldliness. I think it's very hard sometimes for students who have exotic Asian teachers to do that. They're too much like the fantasy. It may take a long time to really see the person and come to terms with their actual personality and humanity. Sometimes when you see that, it's a rather traumatic de-idealization. See, the good news for you is it doesn't take so long for you to see that here, right? You can skip a few steps, right? I think everybody here has sort of a different personal take on this and what it means to them. Some of you have different degrees of commitment or relationship to me, to practice. Some of you would call yourself Buddhists, some wouldn't. Some would call yourselves my students, some wouldn't. I think it's important to try to make explicit all the unconscious criteria we carry around in our head of what we think these things mean. And I hope we'll do some of that in our discussion group later.